You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Holy Ghost and His Power, Part 2, is the sixth message in the series, Ghost Stories, a look at the supernatural and the third person of the Trinity, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning. Would you all stand with me as we read more scripture? And we're going to read from Acts 2 as well as 1 Corinthians 14. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we read these words. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Now then, how is it that each of us is hearing them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language, in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. "Follow the way of love," Paul says, "and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified." Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, this morning. We have again left our homes to come to this house, to this gathering, to this place of worship this morning. And Lord, we have come to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and the prophets, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. We come to worship you this morning in spirit, and in truth. Lord, we ask that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the things that has been freely given to us in the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand the mysteries of God and to understand you more. We pray, Lord God, for your filling in our lives today. We pray for rivers of living water to flow from within us. We praise you for the indwelling of your Spirit. And we pray for the filling of your Spirit. We seek power to live the life you've called us to live. Lord, help us to be the people of God that you've made us to be. Fill us with the power it takes to be these people. Help us this morning, God, to understand and teach us our place in the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what? You all may be seated. A couple things. Number one, this is my favorite Hawaiian shirt. I like this shirt. It's got golfers on it, and it's got also some palm trees. It's just, this looks like a night. This is to remind you all that we're having a Hawaiian Christmas party on Saturday. What is your Hawaiian shirt? What's your favorite Hawaiian shirt? We want you all to be wearing Hawaiian shirts and coming to our Christmas Hawaiian party. We're going to have hula dancers there. Pastor Vince, I think, is playing, doing a little hula. But no, maybe not. I don't want to scare you away. But I want you to come. So this is important. So I want you to be there. Secondly, it's kind of sad. Today, we had a special surprise for Ray Haline. Ray Haline's turning 90, and our church... Ray, we love Ray. Ray is a very special man. He's a tough old Marine. He was a guy that fought in World War II and in the Korean War. I like his old saying, Pastor Frank, I'm not so lean, I'm not so mean, but I'm still a Marine. Ray, today, we were going to sing happy birthday to him right now, but he's not here. Barbara is not feeling well. And so we had a cake ready for him, and happy birthday, Ray, and all went out the window. So his daughter, who's a commander in the LAPD, is going to try to maybe get him here. He hopefully might come, and if he does, we'll sing happy birthday to him after the service so we can get him back. But he's not coming, is he?
He's not coming today. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
The cake will be out for
those. All right, so we got a cake. We got a cake, but no birthday boy. So bummer, right? But Ray is a special guy, and he's just a trooper, so I just love him dearly. So, bummer on that. And then also, guys, just to say, and we should have a special time of prayer for what happened this week. I'm sure all of you know about the terror attack here in America, here in California, here in San Bernardino, and it's just a crazy world that we live in, isn't that the truth? And this child was born to bring peace on earth. The problem is that people don't know Jesus don't have peace. And these people that murdered in the name of their God this last week is not the God of the Bible. And praise God for that, by the way. There are many different gods that people worship in the world. We Christians worship one God, and the God of the Bible. And bummer, right? Would you pray with me? Father, we as Christians gather this morning, as we believers of Christ and those seeking Christ gather this morning, and we are taught by you, Jesus, to love all people. Lord, we weep with those who weep. We pray today for the families that lost moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandmas and grandpas this week. We pray for you to comfort these families. We pray, Lord, that you would surround people with these people with love. I know, God, they're hurting. I ask, Lord, that in the midst of all this, that you would make yourself known. I pray, Lord, for the Christians that know these people, they'd be reaching out to them and loving them in the name of Christ, and that they would see that there is a God that stands opposed to this and who loves these people, who created these people in his image, who has come and walked among us. This God became flesh and dwelt among us and cares for us and died on the cross for our sins, has prepared a way for us into the afterlife, and who walks with us each day. And this God hasn't left us as orphans, but has sent his Spirit into our lives in the meantime. Lord, we pray for our governing leaders. We pray that you help them to make good choices. We thank you for those that serve and protect our communities. Pray for the first responders that showed up, God, and saw that carnage. I wonder how they're doing today. Gosh, Lord, what a mess. This world's such a mess, God. We are thankful for the first coming of Jesus, and we pray for the second. And in that, there'll be peace to all people and no more war. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Well, This morning, we're going to be ending our series on ghost stories. This morning, we're going to be kind of putting the final touches on the package of the series that we've been studying called Ghost Stories, Holy Ghost Stories, as we've been studying the third person of the triunity of the Godhead. God, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Friends, this series was birthed out of what happened to me about a year and a half ago when I was just getting ready to go on sabbatical. And as I was heading to go on sabbatical, I had a moment, and we shared this moment with you, a testimony of this 2 weeks ago, where Pastor Frank prayed over a family in our church, and God performed a miracle in this family. A miracle. And as that was kind of my... That happened right before I went on a three-month sabbatical. During my sabbatical, I was just journaling over this event. I was journaling over the theology of how does miracles work. I was studying and talking to God about who God is, what God is. Why does God do miracles sometimes? Why does God move in the way he does? And I began studying the third person of the Trinity, because the Trinity... The Holy Spirit is the person of power. And I began studying all of this. And this was really what was in my heart that birthed this series that we've done now called Ghost Stories. And I waited till Halloween to launch this series because I wanted to play off the ghost, right? So it's just trying to be creative. But today we end. As we began trying to package this series, I was very systematical. I'm like, all right, if we're going to do this, I want to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. And we talked that first week about the theology of the third person of the Trinity. Then the next week, we talked about the Holy Spirit coming inside of us, being born again. Your spirit has this, you are a spirit and God is a spirit. And his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That is Romans chapter 8. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit came inside of your life at the moment of salvation. I'm here to give you a ghost story that all of you in here, I want you to hear this. A ghost lives in you. And it's not just you. You're a spirit. There's another spirit that dwells in you. It's the Holy Spirit. Came in you on the day of your salvation, being you when you were 4 or 20 or 60. So we taught about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then the next week was, so now what? We talked about walk in the Spirit. Now that you live in the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit. And then the next week was about the power of the Spirit. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem, disciples, until the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will have power to be my witnesses. Power, it's the Greek word dunamis, which we get the word dynamite. Does anyone need dynamite or power in your life? Absolutely. Spirit of God is the God of power. When we're filled with God's Spirit, there's an indwelling and a filling. When God fills our lives and the Spirit of God fills our lives, there's a power that comes with that. So we talked about that. And then we rolled off on that to the Holy Spirit is a person who gives gifts. Gifts. Does anyone like gifts? Do you guys like these on Christmas morning? Theologically, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit indwells each one of you with at least one spiritual gift. Do you know what yours is? We read last week that what is a gift? A spiritual gift is this. And we talked about this last week, just kind of fun for a little review. A spiritual gift is a supernatural capacity given to every believer by the Holy Ghost after salvation for Christian service. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a supernatural capacity given to every believer by the Holy Spirit after salvation. Why? To serve other people in the body of Christ. We learned that a spiritual gift is something a Christian didn't possess before becoming a Christian. And that's what distinguishes it really between a natural talent and a spiritual gift. Natural talents are from God. The capacity of that is given to you from the day that you were born. Well, the day that you're spiritually born, then there's spiritual gifts that's been given to you, okay? Last week in 1 Corinthians 12, we looked at the spiritual gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 13, when you read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, you'll read that Paul's going to have, he's just fluid in his thought. There's no way you can just read 1 Corinthians 12 alone by itself. You have to read the whole thought in three chapters. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul begins speaking about spiritual gifts. And as Paul was speaking about spiritual gifts, it was in the backdrop of division within the church in Corinth. There was issues of dysfunction within the church of Corinth. There was issues of spiritual pride within the church of Corinth. And in the backdrop of all of that, Paul begins speaking into spiritual gifts. He speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 12, and then he kind of takes a break, and he teaches the famous love chapter in the Bible. And I promise you that every one of you has heard this if you've ever gone to a wedding. Because every wedding, almost every one that I've done, we always have someone reading the famous love language. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not boast. It does not envy. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. And he really says this love is the vessel through which all spiritual gifts travel. As he's trying to really deal with a messed up church in Corinth. And as Paul leaves 1 Corinthians 13, he rolls right back into 14, speaking on spiritual gifts again, and he focuses on two gifts in particular, spiritual gifts in particular. The gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. One of these gifts given by the Holy Spirit was causing confusion, was causing issues within the church back then. And by the way, this topic still causes division within some churches today. Pastor Frank became a believer in 1985, fall of 1985. In the summer of that year, I picked up the Gospels, began reading the four Gospels, just wanted to figure out who Jesus was. In my own personal journey, I bowed my knee toward the end of, right around September or so. Became a disciple of Jesus, gave my heart and life to Christ, became born again, moved away, moved down to Dana Point, started a brand new life, left all of my friends that I was partying with, and I knew nobody down here, but I was born of the... I was full of zeal with no knowledge, very limited knowledge, okay? I started going to Saddleback College. I'm living down at Dana Point in an apartment and met some Christians at Saddleback College. And as I began talking about Jesus, they said, "Hey, Frank, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit and do you speak in tongues?" I went, I don't know. I'm like 6 months old in Christ. And they said, "Well, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you need to have the gift of tongues." I've only read the Gospels, people. None of this language, per se, is in the Gospels. So one night I went over to a Bible study that was at their house. These guys all laid hands on me. They began speaking in languages that I've never heard of, praying that I would have the gift of tongues. And guess what happened to Pastor Frank? Nothing. Nothing. They prayed longer and harder. I got nothing. How did that make me feel at the end of the night? Inadequate? Second-class Christian? Confused? Many questions. Didn't quite understand, didn't quite get it. Ended up going to Mission Hills Church. My cousin Bob and Pam invited me to go to church, and I started going to my first church, really, that I was going to, Mission Hills Church down Mission Viejo, it was a Baptist church, and they asked for volunteers in the youth group, and I said, "I'll volunteer with the junior high group." Started volunteering with the junior high group, started getting involved in that ministry, was really growing and being around a Christian community, and one day I asked Pastor Daniel, He is our youth pastor, Tom. He says, Pastor Daniel, can I tell you something that happened to me? And man, this has left me in great confusion. And I told him what happened to me. And he says, Frank, he goes, those people are off. He says, that's called the gift of tongues. It doesn't exist today. He said that this was a special gift given within the church during the church age or the apostolic age of the apostles. He says, and it was given until the Bible was completed. And he opened up 1 Corinthians 13 and he read this to me. And this is what it says. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there's tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. And Daniel told me that the perfect is the completion of the Bible in 90 AD. When the Bible was completed, with the last book of Revelation being done, the Bible was complete. And once God had the perfect Bible written for humanity, all of these gifts all disappeared from the church. Are you with me? So as he explained this to me, guess what I went? Whew. Praise the Lord, right? I'm not a second-class Christian. I thought those guys were a little off, right? And that was me. And I kept rolling along and everything was fine. 2 years later, I finished Saddleback College. I graduate. I went to Biola University and I'm a transfer student at Biola University, Emerson Uprod, 215. They give me a roommate that's also a surfer from San Clemente. His name is Spencer. And him and I totally hit it off, Spence and I. This guy's on fire. He had just given his life to the Lord. He's seriously walking hardcore with the Lord. And we were just having a wonderful time. And then one night, we're laying in bed, and Spence starts speaking in tongues. And I went, crud. And Spence says, Frank, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And do you have the gift of tongues? And I went, And I told Spence, well, that's not of today. And he says, well, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you need to speak in tongues. And I was like, you're delusional and you have mental issues. And we went at it, people, on this. And it was funny because I kept looking at Spence and I kept saying, man, how can Spence be so on fire for the Lord and be so delusional or have a demon in him? And Spence kept looking at Frank saying, how can Frank be so on fire for the Lord and him not be baptized with the Holy Spirit and him not speaking in tongues? And one day, I threw the gauntlet down. I said, Spence, I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that the gift of tongues does not exist today. And he says, fine. He says, and I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that the gift of tongues does exist today and everyone has to have the gift and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we went at it. Guess what chapters we read? Guess where we opened our Bibles and began talking about this? Because anyone want to take a shot? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We opened our Bibles. Now, friends, here it is. I cheated. I went to at Biola, we also have a seminary, Talbot. And I went to some of my seminary professors. I said, hey, Dr. Anderson, man, this is what's going on in my room. I said, dude, can you give me a bunch of ammo? I want to shut this guy down. And Dr. Anderson looked at me and says, Frank, I got some bad news for you. And what is it? He says, you cannot theologically 100% prove that your roommate does not have the gift of tongues today. He says, and I opened 1 Corinthians 13. I said, he goes, this is what's called a cessationist position, Frank. He says, we at Talbot and our faculty are divided on this. We don't even know how to interpret this text. I'm like, oh. He says, Frank, when the perfect is not the coming of the Bible, it's the coming of Jesus. Theologically, when the perfect comes, these things will pass. He says, That is when Christ comes. Not when the Bible's completed in 90 AD. Bummer. He says, you can have this discussion with your roommate all you want to, but I'm telling you, if you want to prove from the Bible that he's wrong, you won't be able to do it. Man. It's highly possible that I might be, my position was wrong. High probability. Was he wrong? Was he wrong? Now you are Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12 says, and individual members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? Are all of us in here teachers? Are all of us in here Bible teachers? Answer? No. All of us are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? Are all of us in here workers of miracles? I wish, right? All do not have the gift of healings, do they? Has everybody in here healed anyone? Do we all have the gift of healing? Anyone? Answer? No. All do not speak with tongues, do they? No. Not all. Theologically, you cannot say, Paul is clearly saying not everybody speaks in tongues in the church in Corinth. Right? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, Paul says, and I will show you a more excellent way. People, not all people, speak in tongues. He was wrong and I was wrong. Theologically, you with me? We were on different sides of the pendulum and both came to the middle. I was over here, he was over here, I'm arguing, and all of a sudden we just kind of went, boom, right? And you know, I remember at one point going, crud, I guess I can't 100% tell you or Chuck, you know, it's funny, Chuck Smith, you guys know who Chuck Smith is? Chuck Smith is a person that started the Fourth Great Awakening in America, Jesus movement in the 70s. My seminary didn't know what to do with Chuck Smith. They loved him and they hated him. They loved him because he was a great Bible teacher, but they didn't know what to do with him because Chuck Smith said he spoke in tongues. And many of my professors were like, well, this gift doesn't exist. So then Chuck must be delusional or have a demon in him. And yet look what God's done. He's created this huge revival in America from this guy. It's really a bummer, you see, that Billy Graham, look what Billy Graham has done, friends. Isn't it a shame that he isn't baptized in the Holy Spirit and doesn't speak in tongues? Isn't that a shame? This is just, there is extremes within Christendom. What was happening with me and my buddy is that I was being pulled by the scriptures into a line of the middle, and he was off. And he was coming into a line. We were in the middle. I remember one day asking Spence, Spence, how did you get the gift of tongues? He says, Frank, he goes, and he told me, he says, you know, I don't even know my biological father. He said, I have, my mom was married 5 times. He said, I was pretty messed up. He sort of told me his testimony. He said, you know, one day I was in a worship service. It was a Thursday night at a worship service. And he says, and people were standing and singing and had their hands raised to the Lord. And he said, I was just praising God for what he's done in my life. He said, I had tears streaming down my face. And he said he was just thinking about his life and all this and how God was healing him. And he said that he felt this welling stirring up within him. And when it came up, he says he just began speaking in a language he had never learned before. And I listened to him, and you know what I said? Praise the Lord. Spence, that's awesome. That's great. That's cool. very spiritual. You want, this is a ghost story, right? You guys are talking about ghost stories? Here's a ghost story. That's a ghost story. Take notes on this. You ready? What is the spiritual gift of tongues? Can I just tell you straight up? It means languages. This is the spirit. This is what it is. It is the supernatural ability to speak a language that has never been learned. That's it. It's a supernatural ability to speak a language that has never been learned. Can you imagine this happening? It can be used as a spiritual sign to help spread the gospel. That's what happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 2, right? Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking in languages that they had never learned before, declaring the wonders of God, God's people. It got people's attention, right? At the temple, it was a sign of the supernatural. Was the gift of tongues used to preach to the people in Acts 2? No. Peter got up and preached the gospel. Great sermon, by the way. Read Acts 2. Peter got up and preached the gospel. Peter preached the gospel to the people. All the others were speaking in tongues. Guess who they were speaking to? Does anyone know who they were speaking to as they were declaring the wonders of God? Did anyone know? They were speaking to God. When a person speaks in tongues, they speak to God in a language they don't understand. Here's a ghost story for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. What was happening in Acts chapter 2? They were speaking to God in a foreign language, and they were all Galileans. They're like hicks, I don't know. And everybody's going, these are unlearned people. What are they doing speaking my language? And they were blown away. And these people are declaring the wonders of God in an unknown language. It's almost like, imagine this, something like this happened at the United Nations, right? It's a sign. Peter gets up and speaks to the people. Peter speaks to the people. Follow the way of love, Paul says, and eagerly desire greater gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for the strengthening and encouragement and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies the self. It's an interesting gift. I don't have the gift. I have people, friends that do. And it's the only gift the Bible says that it brings edification to that individual. And the only way it edifies the body, if they speak in tongues, is someone interprets it, which is interesting thought. Paul says this gift edifies itself. People that have this gift and pray in tongues, it's an edification. It just brings a sense of, wow, God is here. This is amazing type thing to that person. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies the self, the scripture says, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, Paul says, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and it's against the backdrop of division and pride in the church. People are saying that my spiritual gift is better than yours. Mine is more mysterious than yours. Paul says, no, there's no second-class Christian. All gifts are important. If you speak in tongues, great, Paul says. So do I, and even so more than all of you. But in the church gathering, it has minimum effect, Paul says. Verse 28, he says, keep it at home. Keep it as a prayer language. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians 14. If there's no interpretation, Paul says, seek the greater gifts. Like what? Like prophecy. Paul speaks of two spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14, tongues and prophecy. Prophecy, tongues, in terms of impact in the church body. This one has great impact. This one has minimum impact. But he says, this is still a gift. And he says, I wish that everybody would speak it. But this is the one you should, this one, this was the greatest impact in the church, right? hey, what is the gift of prophecy? How do you define that? In the Old Testament, God sent prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, right? Daniel, right? They were sent by God to get on his people when they were blowing him off and not following God. We call them covenant enforcers. The prophets of the Old Testament's job was to enforce the covenant that God had made with the people of Israel. And when they were blown off God, he sent prophets. The prophet's job was two things. Take notes on this. In the Old Testament, one was forthtelling. To speak for God as God's mouthpiece, to reveal God's thoughts, his feelings, and his will for his people. That's what Isaiah did. Most of Isaiah's book is not about declaring or prophesying future events. When you read Isaiah, it's Isaiah saying, this is how God feels right now about you people, and you guys stink. You know, they would speak the will, the heart of God to these people. So prophets in the Old Testament did two things. They did forthtelling, and they do, and this is how I remember it because I like playing golf, is foretelling. You ready? Here it comes. Okay, you know, you want to stay down, bring it back slow, and come down, and once you hit the ball and it's heading towards somebody, what do you yell at them? For? It's in the future. Forthtelling is God speaking his heart, his will, his thoughts in a moment. Foretelling is speaking of future events like Isaiah 53. Or as we read today, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11. The Bible is amazing, friends, because it has so much prophecy that speaks of future events that happen. Jesus' life is all prophetic. Okay? The Old Testament prophets did foretelling and forthtelling. The prophets of old, as well as the New Testament apostles, wrote the Bible. These offices no longer exist of this capacity. Remember last week? If you find someone who says, I'm a modern day prophet, run. Someone says, well, I'm a modern day apostle. Run. These offices are no more. When a prophet says, thus says the Lord, you better listen to him. But yet Paul says, speak or seek the gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy in the New Testament? The New Testament gift of prophecy that Paul is talking about is foretelling. People that have this gift can sense God's thoughts, God's feelings when talking to people, when praying with people. They have a sense of what God wants to say to somebody. And sharing God's will or God's heart with them. It's a powerful gift, friends. People that have this gift, you'll be talking or being with somebody, and all of a sudden you'll just have this impression that you want to say something to somebody. I feel like God wants to say this to you. And it's a very powerful experience. I've had this gift. I do this. There are times when I pray with people, friends, and all of a sudden I'll be praying, talking to people, and I'll just be like, I'm not supposed to say this. And it's cool. I've had people do this to me. When someone just says, they're just so filled with the Spirit, this is their gift, they can begin to actually, God wants to tell you, you know, I sense God wants to say something, you know, and they go and they share. It's very cool. It's the gift of prophecy. It's called, I'm not predicting what's going to happen 500 years from now. This whole thing is mysterious. What is the gift of prophecy that Paul's speaking of? It's forthtelling. A person out of this gift can sense God's thoughts, his feelings, when talking to people, praying with people, a sense that God wants to say something to them, sharing God's will or God's heart with them. It's a powerful gift. The gift is not authoritative as the office of an Old Testament prophet, and it's called to be tested in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 through 22. Great verse. Ready? Do not despise prophetic utterance, Church of Thessalonica. Church at Woodbridge, do not despise prophetic utterance. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There are guys at Biola that would walk around and tell this girl, you know, God told me that you need to date me. God has revealed to me that you need to date me. Run. Test the spirit, right? I kid you not, dude. There's some weird people that come to Christian universities, right? And I heard this one girl, she's cute. And she goes, man, you know, she goes, yeah, there's times when these guys come to you, go, hey, you know, God told me. She goes, hey, well, when God lets me know, I'll let you know. That was her response. But that's not bad. Hey, you test these things. When someone says, hey, man, I feel God wants me to say something to you, test it. But don't despise it, but test it. It's mysterious. You want to talk about ghost stories? We're talking about ghost stories. It's a very cool gift. Becomes very personal. When someone prophesies over you, speaking into your life at that moment, hey, God's heart. I have a buddy of mine who I went, I have a buddy of mine up in Big Bear. He's a good friend of mine. Name's Kenny. Kenny and I grew up together since we were little. And as a matter of fact, I went to my high school reunion, went with my buddy Kenny, and it was kind of depressing because at my high school reunion up in Big Bear, man, Kenny and I were like one of the only two people still married out of all these people that was there. And it was kind of sad. And everybody's tripping out at Pastor Frankie. You become a priest, Frankie? You became a priest? Well, no, I'm a pastor. I'm a, you know. That was fun. Kids you go to junior high and first and second and third grade with, and now you're like, man, you've changed. I sure have. And I remember telling, hey, man, Kenny, it's so weird, man. You and me. I think are we the only ones that are still married from, and we were naming a few people. It's really depressing. Like 70% divorce rate within my group. That was in June. We went up there. By September, my buddy Kenny says, I need you to get up here now. I need you bad. What's up? Get up here. Get in my car, drive up there. His wife's having an affair on him. And, that was the end of that marriage. By Christmas, it was over. They had to tell their kids. This stinks, people. And my buddy's going through it right now. And I call him once a week. I'm texting him all the time. I'm praying for you. And I go up and visit him. I was up visiting him the other day, and he had one of these on his living room table. Jesus Calling. Has anyone heard of this book? You can buy it at Walmart. Pretty good book. It's a prophetic book. When you open it up, it's like Jesus speaking to you. And he was telling me, I said, hey, Kenny, what's this? He goes, Frankie, he goes, I read the Bible every day. And he goes, and I read this book every day. He goes, this is what's getting me through life right now. Seek me with your whole being. I desire to be found by you. I orchestrate the events of your life with that purpose in mind. When things go well and you are blessed, you can feel me smiling on you. When you encounter rough patches along your life's journey, trust that my light is still shining upon you. My reasons for allowing these adversities may be surrounded in mystery, but my continual presence is with you, is an absolute promise to you. Seek me in good times, seek me in hard times, and you will find me watching over you all the time. God speaking to you. This book is being used big time right now in my buddy's life. It's a prophetic book. The one I like, one that I've had for years, is called Come Away My Beloved. In my own quiet times, I'll read the scriptures, I'm journaling, I'm praying, and I'll grab a book like this and I'll just say, God's, and I'll crack it open. Here, this is the one that I wrote down right before my sabbatical. A Garden of Fountains. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Behold, my hand is upon you to bless you and to accomplish all my good purposes. For this hour I have prepared your heart, and in my kindness I will not let you fail. Only relinquish all things into my hands, for I can work freely only as you release to me by complete committal, both of yourself and others. As is written of old, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37:5. I will be your sustaining strength, and my peace shall garrison your mind. I like that word. Garrison your mind. Only trust me. All I do is done in love. Adversities are necessary. They are part of the pattern of life's pilgrim for every individual. And who can escape them? But I say to you that for those who walk in me and for those who are encircled by the intercessory prayer of my children, I will make of the sufferings, yes, I will make of the trials a stepping stone to future blessings. My arms are around you, and never have I loved you more. I will make you like a garden of fountains whose streams are fed by the mountain spring. This one I typed out, and I have it on my screen that I stir this in. It's prophetic. Don't despise prophetic utterance. Test it. The Apostle Paul says, hey, church in Corinth, you guys are messed up. Let's talk about this. Spiritual gifts. And he really focuses on two in 14. Says, this one and this one. This one has great impact within the body of Christ. This one's a blessing to you in your own prayer life. How's that for a ghost story? As we close, I want to tell you, I want to show you something that my professor gave me years ago. And I love this. Dr. Anderson gave this to me. Called it the scales of the church. We were seminary students at the time. I'm no longer an undergrad at Biola. I'm now a seminary student. And he gave this to us. And he said, churches or people lean on different aspects. Some people really are gravitating toward teaching and information, truth and wisdom and knowledge. They're objective. I want fact. And there are churches, there are people that this is where they live. He says, but there are other people that are more on active participation, the moving of the Spirit, power and zeal. It's more subjective. It's more feeling. There's reason and there's intuition. And he says, which one are you? Which one do you lean more to? I'm the reason one. I lean to this in my Christianity. Which one do you lean toward? As he was showing us this graph, he said, where should you be? And then he asked the question, where is Jesus on this graph? He's in the middle. He's in the middle. Where should you be? In the middle. Guess where I was when I went to Biola with my roommate? He was on that side and I was on this side and we went at it. And in the midst, we came in the middle. Friends, Christianity is a cognitive faith. It's an intelligent faith. And I lean more toward this part of Christianity. The conversion of my head before my heart, that's just my DNA. But let me say this morning, and let me say this as we end this series in ghost stories. Christianity is just not a cognitive faith, but is also a supernatural faith. And God is teaching me this every day, bringing me into the middle. People, we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. And he has come to be in our lives a helper, one who teaches us all things, one who brings to our remembrance all things. He's one that was supposed to come into our lives to help us in knowing what to say to other people as we share our faith. He's the one that intercedes for us, the Bible says in Romans. He intercedes for our prayers. The third person of the Trinity is a person of power. who comes in your life at salvation. He indwells you this very day. He just doesn't indwell you, but you should be filled in his Spirit. You have all of him, people, but he doesn't have all of you. The more he gets all of you, the more you will have his power in your life as you release unto him. It's interesting. This third person of the Trinity gives gifts. Gifts. Spiritual gifts. There are 19 plus of them we read in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you don't know your spiritual gift, right after the service in the Family Life Center, we're going to do a spiritual gifts test. Would you like to come take a gifts test? I'll help you try to figure out what's in you. Be happy to do that. The Bible says, do not neglect the gifts that God has given you. Are you neglecting your spiritual gift or gifts? It's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts by his will, so it's his deal, and yet the Bible says, earnestly seek gifts. So the Holy Spirit gives them to you, and yet you can seek them. It's weird. This is just between you and the Lord, man. It's cool. I'm learning. See, if God just hadn't used me to do a miracle in a person's life, we wouldn't have done this series on ghost stories, so you can blame him. But I'm thankful that he did. What I'm praying for is that God will do healings and miracles and signs and wonders in your life too. Would that be all right with you? Wouldn't it be nice if God just wasn't an intellectual thought to you, but an experiential experience? Because he's both. Now here's the deal. As we sing this song and the next couple songs, if you're in here today and you need prayer, if you're in here today and you just feel empty, lonely, you feel like you've got a great burden in your life, you came into this room today and you're like, man, I am so weary and so broken. If you're in here today and you need prayer, during these next three songs that we sing, you come forward and we, the pastoral staff leadership team, be honored to pray for you for whatever it is that you'd like for us to pray for you. But I want you to know, as you're coming up here in my mind, I'm praying for God's Spirit just to fill your life and to give you peace and power and pray for whatever it is that God has. I'm going to ask for Pastor Vince and his wife to come up. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and his wife to come up. I'm going to ask for my wife, Cindy, to come up. Is Dr. Shaner in here? He's at Golden Creek, okay. Mike, I want you to come up. You're going to pray with us as well. Mike and Pat, prayer warriors, these two. Amazing. So, hey, you know what? We're just going to sing these songs, but if you need prayer, if you need a touch of God in your life today, we would be honored to pray for you. There's got to be more than this, friends. Am I right? If your faith is just an intellectual faith, there's more. If your faith is just a bunch of feelings, it's more. Are you with me? Lord, there's got to be more than this. Spirit of God, as we leave this series on ghost stories, on the Holy Ghost, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to stir our lives. Lord, may we, Christians in this room, be people filled with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, we pray. Fill us, we pray.
Spirit of hanging on every word.
Spirit of God, we come before you. We are thankful for the triunity of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit into our lives that we are not orphans as we walk on this planet. Spirit of God, we've studied you. We've tried to understand you more and your role and your work within our lives, which is awesome. Spirit of God, would you fall upon this church? Would you fill us this morning? Would you grant us peace, patience? Would you grant us courage in the battles in which we fight? We seek power. We don't want to be Christians that are powerless. Fill us with great power. For the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us, says Romans 8. We are people that want to walk in truth. We want to walk in light. Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to this church? Answer our prayers. Guide us and lead us and move us and shake us. Empower us in the days in which we live. May the devil fear those in this room. May the kingdom of darkness fear those in this room. For a Christian filled with the Spirit of God is a dangerous element, especially for the kingdom of light, for the kingdom of Jesus. Teach us how to walk in you, Spirit. Fill us anew, we pray this day. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Would you all stand? Here's a blessing for you. You ready? How about this one? The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord's countenance be upon you. And may God give you what this world will never give, people. Peace. Peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not this world gives. May the Spirit of God fall upon you this day. May you have a great week this week. And don't get too wrapped up in the consumerism of Christmas. Remember the meaning. Remember it's all about Jesus, the coming of your Savior, of your Messiah. The Spirit of Jesus dwells in you, Christian. Rejoice.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.